You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the Monday. This is Monday all day long. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey. That's it. Monday.
Monday, and hey. We're going to talk about it. I tell you what, we'll decide whether we're going to talk about your NCAA pick'em.
We'll decide.
I don't know that it should be spoken of. We'll see. Hey, welcome to the Monday, though. We got a great show laid on for you. Coming up at 3 o'clock today, Alabama State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, who's been on the show a number of times. But Andrew Sorrell just got back from the Club for Growth Foundation meeting, the same one that Stephanie Smith and myself have been to. We're going to get some thoughts from him on ESG and what's happening in the state of Alabama and his role as the auditor to ensure that things are above board and that ESG is not impacting our state finances. In the meantime, though, we got a triple dipper on top of that that is like, wow, hit it.
The triple dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, I'm calling it the ESG GPA. How's the scorecard going on that ESG stuff? Not so good, it appears. Yeah, we're going to talk about ESG, why it matters, the environmental, social, and governance aspects of investment in banking and insurance. Yeah, how's that playing out? Well, it's not working out the way they thought it would, although there have been a few setbacks for our side as well. But anyway, we'll talk about it. Number one, the ESG GPA. Number two, this is maddening to me. This is antithetical to common sense. Have you heard about little red classrooms? Little red classrooms, what could that be? Did you know that the Communist Party of China, the CCP, is actually helping fund educational resources in our K-12 schools across the United States? Yes, to the tunes of millions of dollars. Little red classrooms, we'll talk about that one, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, this is a series of official decisions and things that are done by people who are supposed to know better that I just found myself going, well, you can't make this stuff up. And it got to the point that I finally decided to name the whole section, this whole third dipper. You can't make this stuff up. It's a series of stories that may just either make you laugh or aggravate the stew out of you. But yeah, number three, triple dipper. Can't make this stuff up. All right, so let me move into my comments here. I will remind you that the Daily Right Side Way monologue is sponsored for us by the Southern Immediate Care clinics all across North Alabama. They've got locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around Birmingham. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, walk-ins welcome, and they will also see all ages, and this is who I use, by the way. So yeah, stay tuned, more to come on that. I'll tell you more about them later, but right now, just know this, Southern Immediate Care, they are the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, I don't want to brag or anything, but back in the day, when the lovely Charlene and I were dating, I was one smooth operator. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge I want to sell you. But seriously, I was doing what I could to impress the lady that I've now been married to almost 37 years. When we first met, Charlene was waiting tables at a Ruby Tuesdays, and I would occasionally find out when she was working and go in, not because I was hungry, but because she was the one serving the food. On one particular day, I was in the mall where the restaurant was located, and I went in just to get a cup of coffee. It was like $1.25 or something for a cup of coffee. So it'd hardly be worth her time to wait that table. You know, it was me. Until Phil the Big Spender dropped a $10 tip and headed for the door. She actually ran out the door with the $10 bill in her hand and said, "What are you doing?" To which I replied with something suave and debonair, like leaving a good tip for my favorite waitress. like I said, one smooth operator. But aside from the fact that I was trying to impress my girlfriend, I do believe that tips are important. My pastor even stresses there are times when you need to consider how little some folks who wait tables are making and leave what he calls a big honking tip just to bless them. Folks don't realize that waiting tables usually means you get paid less than minimum wage because allegedly the wait staff will make it up in tips. The often overlooked fact, though, is that when you eat at a place that also has a bar, that the wait staff generally has to split their tips with a bartender. So yeah, those net earnings get kind of slim when you're waiting tables. I used to deliver pizza myself. I can tell you that tips meant the world. Sometimes you'd get that person who'd meet you at the door and put a $5 bill on top of the box and say, hey, thanks. Other times, though, you'd drive up to the beautiful house with the nice landscaping and the stable full of exotic cars, and they'd short you and act like they were doing you a favor. Tips are important. They're designed to do two things. A tip provides a little extra compensation for someone who's done a good job, and a tip will also bless them and show your appreciation. But there's a strange phenomenon that we're experiencing now as a culture. Have you noticed it? It seems that at every turn, we're being asked to give a tip for someone who has done nothing. The other day, Charlene and I stepped into a little frozen yogurt shop. It was self-serve. We walked in, we picked up our own cup, we served ourselves, and added our own toppings, all the while the staff stood behind the counter and just watched. And as we checked out, the very nice lady said, please insert your card, it will ask you a question. And the question was whether or not I wanted to leave a tip that amounted to a percentage of the overall sale. No. I literally did all the work and paid you for it, so why would you also ask for a tip? Now, I've heard this new socio-cultural trend being referred to as guilt tipping or even gratuity gouging. The worst are the ones that have you pay before you get the product. Like the barista who simply pours a cup of hot coffee, grabs a muffin out of the display case, but yeah, she charges you first and you just have this sudden sense of dread that she just saw you did not leave a guilt tip. And now she's reaching for the special muffin. It's really gotten to be aggravating, though. So much so that reports are already being generated labeling customers as having tipping fatigue. It's as if there's some new demand that we must give something for nothing. I'm all for doing something to bless others, but it's a bit different when you do nothing but stand there with your hand out with some sort of misplaced sense of expectancy. I mean, what are they going to have to watch out for is when the market begins to self-correct? And it will. If you go for the guilt tip too often, then pretty soon you're going to get fewer tips as people begin to recoil from the ever-present panhandling that too often accompanies the most modest of transactions. Y'all, it's no different than the guy who walks up at the red light, spits on your windows, and then demands payment for allegedly cleaning it. They did something you didn't ask for, they asked for payment they didn't really earn, and therefore you are now expected to comply. Well, people don't like to be pressured into tipping. In fact, people don't like to be forced into doing anything with their hard-earned dollars that they don't already want to do on their own. That's a part of what makes the free market free. You see, most times the concept of the free market deals with the producers of goods and services, the concept that building the better mousetrap means that your company will rise to the top in a sort of survival of the fittest scenario. But the other half of the free market is the consumer. In a truly free market, consumers want what they want, not what they are told to want. I mean, think back to the early days of cell phones. They were once considered novelties. Then they were good to have, but they cost a lot if you exceeded your plan. Then they became convenient and could even fit in your pocket, and then texting became a thing, and then they included cameras, and then they got internet access, and now it's almost inconceivable to imagine the idea that someone doesn't have a smartphone with them at all times, and many houses have even done away with their landlines. You see, that's an example of the ability of the private sector. Left alone to do its work, building successively better mousetraps, and consumers deciding that those devices, those are what they want. Only now we have electric vehicles. They could easily move through the same stages of market integration and expansion that I just described for the now ubiquitous smartphone. Over time, the private sector would invest its own dollars, grow their market share, prove their worth. But no, quite the opposite is happening with EVs. You see, much like guilt tipping, we're being told to spend our money on something we haven't necessarily asked for and don't necessarily want. The electric vehicle is becoming the automotive version of guilt tipping, something for nothing. A technology which has merits and certainly has its drawbacks. Some will choose it and many will not because we're still accustomed to being in a free market society. But more and more, the government has decided that they are like the expectant barista who tells you what to pay and when to pay it, and then waits for the card reader to ask you a question about tipping before you're ever allowed to get what you really came there for. They will ask, they will cajole, and they will push their government-subsidized not-so-free market, and you and I will have to make a hard decision. Do we look them in the eye and tell them they haven't proven their worth and risk getting the special muffin? You see, yeah, free market economies only work when the consumer is actually free to choose what was actually freely developed and marketed. Otherwise, the market will self-correct as consumers get EV tipping fatigue, if you know what I mean. So how about this, government? Stop asking for something for nothing. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. I mean, how many times have you gone into a self-serve place and they ask, do you want to leave a tip? For what? Because you asked the question? No. Well, the same is true right now for electric vehicles. Are they cool? If you want one, go get one. But you know what? Don't tell me I have to give you one. Otherwise, that's not a free market. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.